Oh, we're live. We did it. I just pressed the button a lot and it worked.
Turned it off and on again.
Yeah, sorry guys. StreamYard didn't want to let us live stream this morning, but we clicked the button enough and it eventually let us on. So we're here.
Indeed.
So, how is everyone?
Really well. How are you?
I'm good. Coming to you from sunny Sydney. Over here.
There is sun. Well, there was a bit of sun here this morning. It's gone now. Only Melbourne. Never lasts. How are things in your neck of the woods, Jim?
Yeah, pretty good. I haven't left the house yet. I'm just in the garage, so.
Yeah. Nice work.
Your lighting is kind of similar to the Canon launch party lighting theme.
Yeah.
From last night. Yeah, it looks like.
It looks very red.
Yeah, it looks like you've lit it up to honor the launch.
Well, yeah, it looks red, but it's not. I'd like that's pink and that's orange, but I guess that might make red.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's the red shirt.
Now, we'll get to the Canon launch party and we'll get to why Justin's in Sydney. But first of all, quick introduction. Welcome to the Camera Life podcast. This is episode 22 or episode 2 of our return. And episode 2 of my joining the crew. We streamed live last week, same time, to the Lucky Straps channel and our Camera Life, the Camera Life podcast channel. So if you missed last week's show, check out the channel and have a look. It's a long one. It's an introduction back into the camera life and talking about news and events and what's shaping our photography world. So I'm Greg and we've got Jim and Justin with us today. Wouldn't be the same without them, obviously. and if anyone's watching live, feel free to add comments. This is not just about us sitting here in our three separate locations, talking about what we think about the photography world and cameras and gear. We want to hear from viewers, so please add your comments and we'll do our best to get to them live. And if you have any comments that you add, if you watch this after the live recording and you add comments, we'll try and get to those in a future episode. So, that's our introduction.
Particularly a good episode for it, because if you've got any questions about some new cameras that we're going to discuss, I've actually touched them. So yes. I can answer some of the questions, not all of them.
Yeah, Justin's done more than just touch them. That's very wrong, but we will get to that. Let's cut straight to the chase, Justin. What took place last night for you or for all of us, really?
It was pretty exciting. The Canon people that we've secretly been working with for the last few months invited me to come up to Sydney for the launch of the R5 Mark II and the R1, which was super exciting. We have been working with them on a custom limited edition strap for the R5 Mark II that also commemorates their 50th anniversary.
Can I show the people playing along at home?
Yeah, and yes, bring it up on the screen.
Yeah,
I can also. I've got a strap here somewhere too. Actually, hang on. While I talk about it, I need a prop. Oh, hang on. You have to click the add to stage.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone. What did I do? There it is. Is that coming through?
Yeah, we can see that.
Where'd I put it?
Okay. So, yeah, we're on their website. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
So this is on Canon Australia's website. So tell us a little bit about...
There's the strap there.
Yeah, there's the strap. So tell us about the design and who you worked with to come up with this.
So the key thing, because a little backstory, we actually worked with Canon on the original R5 launch. We created 800 limited edition straps for that, and that was actually the birth of our deluxe 45 padded strap, which is now our most popular strap that we make. And that was 4 years ago when the R5 came out, and then they got in touch with us again this time, but they wanted to have less of a focus on the strap itself. The last strap was very premium in its, like it was padded. It was quite thick. It's our sort of ultimate strap. This, they wanted the strap to be a bit thinner, a bit slimmer. So we went with our classic 40 design, and they really wanted the focus to be on some commemorative artwork that they were commissioning by this artist here, Kentaro Yoshida. So,
so I got to meet Canon's last night. 50th anniversary in Australia. Is that what it's for?
50th anniversary in, I guess, in Australia. Yeah.
Yeah,
I should know that. They've been around longer than that.
Yeah, they have in Japan.
Yeah. Yes. And also, obviously, primarily the launch of the R5 Mark II, but the artwork was very much to be was something they put a lot of time into this. We've been back and forth for quite a while, and getting this onto the strap, this design, it's hard to explain, but it was actually very, very tricky for the team to pull it off. So hats off to the team at the factory to be able to do this, and they've already made hundreds and hundreds of these straps in preparation for them to get shipped out with cameras in August.
I think that's amazing. It's fantastic for, obviously, for Lucky Straps as a brand. So congratulations. And this design is just gorgeous. Anything Japanese and I'm all over it.
I was thinking that last night. I was like, Greg would be loving this.
Yeah. His work's really beautiful. I had a little look at it earlier this morning before we logged on. And the strap just looks amazing, especially with the black and the red stitching. It's got the nice official branding. And so the first 1,000 Australian customers who pick up an R5.
Yes.
And 150 New Zealand customers.
That's what I've been told. Yeah. I was trying to find if that was on there somewhere, but that was what we were told.
It's on there somewhere. I read that too.
Oh, it's in your email, I think, Justin, in the newsletter, the Lucky Straps newsletter.
Oh.
If anyone hasn't signed up to the Lucky Straps newsletter, make sure you head over to Lucky Straps and sign up.
That would be great. So to be sure, before you order your camera, if you do want one of these straps, maybe just double check with the retailer. Simon
Pollock. He's asked, million. Are they $1 million? Yes,
for that price, you get a camera with it, which is cool.
Yeah. A free camera with a $7,000 strap.
Yeah.
A premium strap, obviously. Like,
so, yeah, don't, we can't sell them. We've already had some emails come in.
You're saying people are already reaching out to buy this
to buy the strap by
itself. Yeah. We had that last time for months, like six months at least. Every week we'd get multiple emails of people because, you know, if they're only available in Australia, people all over the world spot them and want them. So yeah, unfortunately, the only way is to buy a camera in Australia.
Yeah. Or jump on eBay like someone did last time, try and nag one.
Yeah, someone sold one for a lot more. Like I think it was $300 or $400.
I was going to ask, do you tuck away into like a safe deposit box that any special editions as potential future investment retirement fund kind of
retirement fund? I should have. I didn't.
Yep.
I will with this one.
It's good. I've got one here, maybe.
Yeah, there are a couple that we've got for commemorative purposes.
Yeah. They're not for sale. Yeah. We can't sell them.
No. Well, everything's for sale.
Guys, tell. I've only seen a little bit of the behind the scenes at Lucky Straps before it was in Jim's garage. It was in a shipping container, wasn't it, Justin?
No, the
freezer, the big freezer. The freezer.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We were in an industrial space, an old cool room. Yeah.
It did have a window and a glass door, but
yeah. It was very cool.
I've seen a little bit of behind the scenes about how the embossing is done with the Lucky Straps. And obviously Jim, you take care of a lot of that from your space. But with the new design on the Kentaro one, the R5 Mark II strap. That's obviously a much bigger plate that you've used to emboss that.
Yeah.
And is that something that Jim's doing or is that in the factory?
The team at the factory have to do that one. It requires a lot of pressure to apply evenly across that plate. So it's done in a different machine, a bigger machine. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's there's a lot to this one because the white foil is particularly tricky. So pressing into the leather, but not too hard. There's a machine that they've got at the factory that has a lot more fine control over the plate as it comes down. That's where that's done. The guys
so there straps are, two layers of leather.
It is, yeah. So black leather on the top, and this sort of deep. It doesn't look deep in this light, but it is a deeper wine red sort of leather on the back, which is a it definitely looks a bit bright in here, but that's closer to what the color looks like in person.
And quick release at each end of the slash proof webbing.
Correct. Yeah. So cut resistant slash proof webbing, quick release with the lock on it. Fits in the new R5 Mark II just fine.
Nice.
Also, the ends are slightly different to our normal straps too. It's only got the one Lucky logo on the top.
Yeah, so we've kept it sort of very, very minimal branding to try and focus on Lucky. Yeah. But it still blows my mind that our logo is on the same strap as Canon's logo. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So pretty awesome.
No, congratulations, team. Well done.
Yes. That's good work, everybody.
Huge news. Yeah.
Huge news. Almost as big a news as the cameras themselves.
The free cameras that come with the strap.
The free cameras. There was actually, and I don't know if it's true or not, but last night they had this like claw game with these balls in it at the launch. And apparently one of the balls had a free camera in it. Or not the camera itself, but like a little note that would say you won an R5 Mark II. But the line to do it was long, so I didn't end up doing it. But
I've been to a couple of camera launch events and product launch events, and I always come home with a bit of swag. Did you come home with any swag?
I did. I haven't actually, man. I got home last night and edited that video and got to bed at there's a video on our YouTube behind the scenes of last night, just to show.
We'll link it below after the show.
Yeah, just to show roughly what it was about. Don't watch it yet. Stay with us. But yeah, I haven't even opened my swag. Let's see what I got.
Yeah, let's do a live unboxing. We've just completely changed our demographic.
Need to add some quick knife movements and.
Yeah.
All right.
We've just appealed to a younger demographic, Justin.
How so?
Live unboxing
stuff. That's all my YouTube channel would be if I was a YouTuber. It's just unboxing and reviews. So this is my paper bag. I've already opened this one, but we'll do it again because I think it fell down, so I've got to get it out. But hang on.
Ooh, nice.
That's cool. That's
fancy
really cool.
Key ring.
Man, that's very fancy.
That looks pretty beefy.
Yeah, it's an R1, Jim.
Show us the front of it again a bit closer.
Look at that.
I've got the lines across. Oh, it's lines across the sensor.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is very cool. I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, nice work.
All right.
Nice work. Put that on eBay. You'll get something for it.
Maybe.
You can save up for that R5 Mark II that you've been wanting.
Well, I kind of want the R1 as well, but that's just a lot of money.
I can see the torment on your face. If you haven't, Simon wants you to do the unboxing ASMR, please say it.
So, okay, this is going to be embarrassing, but I kind of understand what ASMR is, but I still don't quite understand because I know it's got something to do with the audio or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, I can't remember what it stands. It's audio sensory something, I think. But obviously Simon knows all about it. But
so would it be just like...
Yeah, it's all the sound involved in the process. It's
right.
Well, I think in some spaces it's even a bit of a kink.
Okay. Well, save that for later.
Yeah.
Now,
that's for the after-hours show.
I don't know what is in... What's in the box?
Anonymous sensory meridian response.
Oh. Thanks, Simon.
We need Simon on the show.
Yeah,
I think so. Send him a link. Let's get him on. It's a cup.
What else did you get? Look at this.
That is very cool.
Oh, that's nice.
It's the whoop. I can do this. It's the R5 Mark II. Cool. Get a coffee in this after the show.
Get a real coffee, not a hotel coffee.
Yeah, no, there's a real one just down this, like, yeah, I already scoped it out last night, just across the road. So yeah, that's my swag. That's pretty, wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never been to an event like that before. And yeah, it was very, very exciting. So you've been to stuff like this before, Greg?
Yeah, I've been to a couple. The last one I went to was quite a while ago. It was the Fujifilm X-Pro 3 launch. And the X-Pro 3 came out in three different finishes. And one of them was a scratch-resistant magnesium finish, I think. They had special coatings. And obviously, the X-Pro 3 is a bit of a cult classic amongst Fuji photographers, street photographers especially. It's a lot like a Leica rangefinder, but obviously better, cheaper. like a big event, food and, you know, special guests and special and photographers there, and Fuji flew me up for the night, and it's fun. It's a nice little perk of the industry when if you had to do it all the time. Like, I've got friends who travel all the time for in the photography industry. One of them is he's like the head of training and outreach for Fujifilm Australia, and he's away from home a lot, away from his family. So he's got a young family, and the odd occasion's really nice.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun, and they certainly know how to put on a show. They said they don't do stuff like this very often. Maybe not in Australia. I'm not sure. So they said when they do something like this, especially two cameras, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
it looked really cool in your video.
It was really cool. They had the drummers and the
drummers.
Yeah, and then the big countdown that was synced up with the rest of the world. So we got it live at 8 o'clock when the embargo lifted across the whole world. So it was actually really cool to do it, see it in person.
Yeah. Well, we'll link in the description after the show, Justin's personal vlog of leading up to the event and then a little bit afterwards, and also seeing his torment about how he wants the R1, but you know, it's a lot of money, and we'll get to that in a sec.
It's a lot of money. Yeah, we will. Are we gonna? Is that what? What else have we got to talk about before we talk cameras? I mean, I'm so excited.
Well, I think we need to talk about. We'll stick on the Canon train.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the two product launches. So I'm just going to quickly share my screen. We'll stick with the R5 Mark II. Just give me a second to present my screen. Okay. Can everyone see that?
You'll just hit share, add to stage down the bottom screen bit. No, that's all right. There we go.
There we go. Yeah. So the EOS R5 Mark II, this is the Australian Canon site. It is $6,700 basically.
First interesting thing about that is, I'm not sure if I'm remembering this incorrectly, but the original R5 was more expensive than that. At launch,
really?
I'm positive it had a seven in the front of the price. Because I bought one, so I'm pretty sure.
Remember the pain.
I remember the pain. Better take Simon's thing down. There we go. I'm sure it was seven something, maybe 7.2. I'm not sure, but yeah, it was. This might actually be slightly less expensive, and I don't know whether that's a currency conversion thing, like the yen is different.
The yen's struggling at the moment.
I don't know. How does that compare to what's the current retail price on, like, biggest competitors for the R5 Mark II? The biggest competitor is really the Z8.
And in Sony, it's the what would it be? The A7?
The A7R five.
Yeah.
Yeah, their 60 megapixel one, it is a competitor. It's not as all, in my opinion, it's not as good of an all-rounder. It's definitely not as good for video as the R5 Mark II and the Z8R. And it lacks some of the sort of the speed that those cameras have as well, so I don't see it as much as a competitor. But it also has 60 megapixels, so it kind of sits off on its own. Simon's saying the A7 R5 is only $4,600. Yeah, which is probably about what the price of the old R5 was running out at, over the last month or so.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the new kind of premium full frame R series Canon. It's not the top of the range, and we'll get to that in a minute, but it's certainly up there. And
how did it feel, Justin?
It felt almost identical to the original R5.
Yeah.
Just with a couple of notable differences, being the addition of a video photo switch, which was one of my wish list items.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for me personally, they put it
on the
left hand side, which is where the R6 Mark III is. Man, there's too many marks. The R6 Mark III is on that side. It makes sense that they continued that along, but I actually really love it on the where it is on the R3, which is right where your thumb rests, and I can switch very, very quickly.
It's exactly where my one is too.
Is it?
Yeah.
The fact that there is the video photo switch is awesome, because that was something that sort of pained me on the original R5. So that's a great upgrade. Other than that, on the body itself, there's not a ton of like ergonomic differences that I could tell. It was really dark in there. We're playing around with it. There's a bit of footage. There's probably not enough to notice, but the photographer, James Simmons, the wedding photographer, me and him were like using each other's phone lights to try and, you know, figure out the two different cameras. And at one point, I should have included the footage in there. At one point, I'm getting like some footage, and he was using his phone camera to like his phone flash to sort of do that. And it was looking real cool on the camera. And I'm like, oh man, this looks like pro footage. It could be a Peter McKinnon video. And then we shot the whole thing. And then we looked at it. We're like, that's the R3. It was sitting on the demo table with some of the R1s, and we thought we just got some footage of the new R1, and it was just an R3.
Would have been funny.
Yeah, it was funny, but I was too tired to try and put that into the video last night. But anyway,
let's talk specs.
Yeah, let's talk specs.
Mm. So as we saw on the site, and it's the Australian price for anyone playing along overseas. So it's $6,700 Australian dollars. For the body only, but there's some really significant specs and upgrades to the Mark II that borrows heavily from the new flagship, which is the R1, and we'll cover that in a minute. But I guess the top specs, it's a 45 megapixel full frame, and it's stacked BSI CMOS sensor. That was one of your wishlist items.
It certainly was.
Justin?
Yeah, and they did say last night, I don't know if that's kicking around on the internet anywhere, but they said last night that is 60% faster than the original R5 sensor readout speed. So,
and to drive that, they've got a second chip on board.
Yeah.
Which is this Digic accelerator.
The accelerator, which I don't know if that's just to drive like throughput of the sensor, or if that is to do with if it helps with autofocus as well. I didn't actually get a chance to ask someone about that.
I watched the Canon USA live show last night on YouTube, where they announced the cameras. And from what I could see, they had a bit of a kind of an animated graphic, and it was the way they were talking, it was more to do with the readout.
Okay.
But it, you know, it pairs up with the Digic X processor.
Yeah.
Like
a supercharger.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's this whole, it's like Apple with their M3 silicon, you know, it's all in one chip, everything.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a, rather than have separate chips, they've kind of, well, from what they tell us, they're kind of combining it all into a, yeah, like a supercharged processor.
Okay.
Couple of other standout features that I picked up on. It's using this cross-type dual pixel intelligent autofocus, but it's got a new action priority mode where you can select a particular sport.
Three sports only.
Yeah, so it's soccer, hockey, and volleyball.
Soccer, basketball, volleyball.
Basketball, sorry.
Yeah. And they will be adding more sports to that. They made that pretty clear.
Yeah, firmware. Through firmware updates, yep. I'll add more to it and improve it.
I've seen some chatter on the internet already about, like, hey, why just these three sports and why not more generic modes like, I don't know, motor racing, ball sport, you know, that, like, more broad. But I believe it's quite a specific function where it tracks the ball. And it tracks the ball to then predict what player is going to be at the key moment. And it will switch autofocus to that player if the ball is heading in that direction. That was how it was explained to me. And it is crazy. And that's why I think it's very specific, because obviously they've modeled those balls, those specific balls, and the sports and the colors that are in those sports. Obviously, you know, volleyball is going to have sort of a different color palette to basketball and soccer. So I'm sure they would have used a lot of that to sort of do learning to then predict where the ball goes and track that player at that moment. So I'm imagining, like, you know, that moment in soccer when someone goes for like a header or something like that, and it's really fast, and to try and predict what's going to happen, you know, where the ball's going to go, the camera might be able to do it faster than the photographer with this new autofocus.
We're becoming obsolete.
I'm just going to say, maybe. Where's that going to lead?
Yeah.
You know, if we're doing it with sport now, what's it next? Does it all.
I'll tell you, Jim, are you ready for this? You can register in the R5 Mark II, and I assume the R1 as well, but definitely in the R5 Mark II, you can register 10 people in order of priority in the autofocus. So you can take a photo of your bride at the start of the day and say priority number one. Yep. Take a photo of the groom, obviously priority number two, because no one cares. Yep. Then so on down the list. And so when they're all in a group running around, it'll just prioritize the bride, always.
Yeah, that's great.
And then if she's not there, it'll go to the next and the next and the next. I didn't get to test that out last night because, like, there was no cards in the cameras or anything like that, and it was super dark. So there was, we could sort of play with some stuff, and the autofocus did seem really, really sticky.
They actually used that word in the Canon USA presentation. They said that the people priority autofocus is really sticky.
Yeah.
And they demonstrated how, like on the LCD or, you know, obviously in the EVF, you could see that there was a grid with the 10 boxes and each person's photo was in the grid.
Yep.
I think that's amazing. I think it's really clever.
It's a pretty, pretty wild feature. How it, you know, whether people take the time to do that, to register, you know, especially, the autofocus is so good now on modern cameras. Like, I assume, Jim, you don't have a ton of issues getting things in focus. We used to, you know, back when we were sort of shooting earlier DSLRs with primes, you did have to really concentrate. Like, if a bride's coming down the aisle, you're like, all right, I got to get this stuff in focus. Whereas now you can basically be like, you know.
Yeah, it figures it out.
It figures it out. But
I'm getting too many photos now from having better autofocus.
You're just too good.
No.
You need to put your prices up. Start charging per photo.
Put it back into manual.
Yeah, really. Something a baby. Challenge yourself. test your skills.
Sorry, I didn't get anything from the whole day.
But I had fun.
So, yeah, people priority. The other update is, and they've had this before, and Canon, I think Canon was the first to introduce this, and that was years ago. Through the EVF.
Eye control autofocus.
Eye control autofocus, where it registers where you're looking in the frame. Yeah.
Which I've got that in the R3. It was, they brought it, that was the first camera they brought it back with in the modern era. And I haven't used it a lot, but it does actually work better than, you know, when the R3 first came out, a lot of people were like, oh, it's not that great. I used it. It worked really well, especially for mountain biking stuff. Yeah. What stopped me from using it as much is because I shoot a lot of hybrid photo video. So sort of going from eye control autofocus and then not with video and back, it was kind of a bit confusing for my brain. Yeah. It was easier just to sort of do it the same way for both both photo and video. But they did say that the eye control autofocus it's not just the same as the R3, it's been upgraded as well.
Yeah.
They
made a really strong point of that in the Canon USA presentation.
Did it say how it was upgraded? Because I got told it was upgraded and that there was maybe you could be slightly further away and it would still work, I think.
They threw around, I mentioned this before we went live, they threw around a lot of big words around deep learning and AI. They didn't actually say AI, they always referred to it as deep learning.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to be the way that all camera companies are going now. They're utilizing AI to train their eventual processes, how to operate with subject tracking and face and eye detection and the varying, you know, animals that you can set. You know, I know with, I don't know what it's like with Canon, but I know with the pro Fuji bodies, you can set birds, you know, pets and different types of animals. I think Sony's kind of got a handle on that more than anyone, but they're all catching up.
Yeah. They're definitely all. And it does seem that everyone's sort of got, like I said, everyone's got a very great autofocus system now. Yeah. But that being said, which is something I guess we'll discuss more about the R1, but with the lack of really showstopper specs from probably either of these cameras, in a sense that, you know, they didn't just come out and make the R5 a 80 megapixel camera or whatever, or you know, some sort of crazy spec that grabs headlines. I think the real world testing of the autofocus in these cameras is going to be going to be one of the primary selling features for them for sure.
Yeah,
but it's really hard to put that on paper sometimes. I think that's one of those things that's got to get in the hands of photographers and get tested in some really tricky scenarios for people to say, oh wow, that's just great. Because otherwise all you see usually about autofocus is stuff like I don't know, used to be how many points it has, or these days like you say, things like, oh, it's got it can track trains and birds and goldfish and, you know, all that. So they go that direction with what it can track. But there's really no way to quantify that on paper. It's one of those things you need to get it in your hands, use it and the way that you use it, and then go, okay, wow, that's really good.
One thing I noticed about the presentation last night from Canon USA was the focus on sports and photojournalism. Now, keep in mind that I'm not sure what date it starts, but we're very close to the start of the Paris 2024 Olympics. And typically in Olympics years, camera companies release something that's related to sports and photojournalism. And obviously here we've got the Canon EOS R5 Mark II and the new flagship R1, which are very much dedicated to sports and photojournalism use by professionals. And the R5 came out prior to the last Olympics. And Sony brought out some stuff. I can't remember the specifics, but every Olympic year in the lead up, it's an opportunity for these companies like Canon, Sony and Nikon to really drop some flagship products that are going to get worldwide attention. And I think Canon is a gold sponsor of the Olympics. Because it's a huge promotion opportunity for them.
Yeah.
Sorry, my computer just went dark.
Oh no! Yeah, you went dark.
I'm back.
Justin, what did you? I guess what do you think about the 24 megapixel raw images you can capture while shooting video?
Because
as a hybrid shooter,
that was something that that was one of the unanswered questions I had from last night. Is it going to be in the same exposure setting as what I'm shooting the video in? Like, how does that work? Yeah. And I haven't, has either of you seen any detail on that?
No. I haven't seen enough detail on that. I just saw that the 24 megapixel raw.
Yeah, I missed the opportunity, unfortunately, to find one of the product guys and ask them. Yeah. Because, yeah, we had a lot of questions like that last night. When I say we, it was like me and a few of the people I met, whose names I've already forgotten because I'm terrible with meeting people. But everyone I met, thank you for the chats. I met TK North. He's got like a YouTube channel, does street photography and stuff like that, and also Instagram and stuff. Yeah, he was super cool. Because the problem I have is I might be shooting video at like 4K 25p, so I'll have a 1/50th shutter speed, and maybe a aperture of 5.6, depending on lighting conditions and stuff like that. But then if I want to freeze that subject in a still, I want a shutter speed of, you know, at least 400, 500, something like that. Maybe a shallower depth of field to compensate for the less light, different, maybe even a different ISO setting. So I don't know if that's possible. I don't think that's been possible ever in the past.
Surely it'd be the same settings. Because like how could you be... You couldn't have two settings, two...
I don't think it would be possible, in which case the feature is slightly less interesting to me. But if you were shooting less fast-paced action,
it could definitely
be very useful. If you're shooting wedding videos...
if you're shooting at 50th of a second shutter,
still
you're not going to worry as much.
So I don't know. That's something I'm very interested in, that spec, to see how that works. And there was a few things like that as well, like the I can't remember what their technical term for this was, but like the upscaling mode. I don't know. Did you see that
In camera upscaling to? So the R5 can upscale to 179 megapixels.
And this is where it was sort of, to be very clear, there's other camera brands that do like a pixel shift multi-shot, take four shots really fast, slightly shift the pixels, and then you're essentially getting four times the resolution.
The GFX 100S Mark II does 400 megapixel.
That's a lot of megapixels.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of pickles.
It's a lot of pickles. It does that. Yeah, so I don't know if that gets put together in camera in the Fuji or if you put it together afterwards, but...
I can't remember.
Paul Henderson's asking, is that using pixel shift? No, it's actually more like... What do we call it in Lightroom? It's like... software upscaling, using probably AI and deep learning and all of those sorts of things.
So the camera's hitting the enhance button.
It's enhanced from SuperTubers. Enhance. But so the examples that we saw looked really, really, really good. Obviously, they're always going to look really good because they wouldn't show you if it didn't look good. But essentially, where a lot of people are saying, what would this be useful for? Does someone need to urgently print a billboard straight out of their camera JPEG without putting it through Photoshop or something? Because Photoshop and Lightroom all have these sort of upscaling tools now. But what I think they're missing is you can do crop mode. So if you were shooting sports in crop mode, so you're reducing your resolution, but then you can upscale it and then deliver that file straight to a publication or something like that. I think that might be where they're heading with it. The example they were showing was a crop. Is that what you
saw? They talked about that a lot in the presentation for both cameras. So the we'll get to the R1, but it does have an Ethernet port and a full HDMI. And the one of the grips, or maybe both grips that are now that will become available for the R3 Mark II. I think one of them also has a full-size HDMI port. And they talked a little bit about the ability to, and also through the connectivity settings, the Wi-Fi, the fast Wi-Fi setting, the ability to instantly share, large files with media outlets, cloud, to editors, things like that.
Yeah. I think it might be something that for those of us that can't see the application that well, it probably isn't for us. I think it's that kind of feature where sort of people are looking at that going, well, why would I need to do that? And I guess it's like, well, you probably don't need to do that then. Yeah. But I'm assuming there are photographers out there that are going to look at this and go, that's going to speed up my workflow get things done really fast, especially maybe at the Olympics, you know, when someone's just broken a world record or something like that, but you shot a little bit wider, you want to crop in tight and deliver that instantly. Maybe that's where it's coming from.
Yeah. And people will find uses for it.
That's also true. Yeah.
You know, people will go, okay, well, you know, people that weren't even looking for it will go, oh, wow, now I can do that actually. Oh, that lets me do this. You know, so it really opens up. It just provides solutions to potential problems. Mm. Especially if you're working in the field or working remotely and you just want to get your content over.
Yeah. So that will, to be clear, that will, I believe, produce a JPEG when you run it, like when you run this upscaling on a photo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It'll produce a JPEG and that,
yeah, it'll pop the JPEG straight file. Out.
Yeah, exactly. And it can't make a raw, 179 or whatever megapixel raw. It'll just be a JPEG.
Yep. Very cool. Let me go over some other specs that are worth. Sorry, did you want to say something, Jim?
No, sorry. Oh. No, I was just saying that's crazy that 179 megapixel is insane.
Bizarre. Couple of other standout features. The videography, they really talked about the Canon Cine experience, more so with the R1, but the EOS R5 Mark II is no slouch, and it can record up to 8K 60 RAW, 4K 60S RAW, 4K 120, I don't have the audio specs right here in front of me, but the audio seemed to be boosted a lot from the original R5, which is great.
Yeah.
The other cool feature that they talked about for both cameras is the ability to, you know, you could be shooting in 8K, but also record a proxy copy in 2K that would go to the SD card. So your 8K would go to either your internal CF Express B or your external monitor.
Yeah.
And the 2K proxy will record to your SD card.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about how you think that works and what that's good for.
It starts to get a little bit out of my area of expertise. I've used proxies only when the computer is struggling with editing, you know, Final Cut will build proxies for me so that I can edit smoother. And I can, what I'm not sure about, you know, is this kind of a JPEG RAW scenario for video where do the editors, like if I bring that footage into Final Cut, does the editor, the Final Cut editing system, know that that is a proxy for my main footage and I can use that to edit quicker?
That's what they talked about.
Yeah. And I assume that's how it would have to work. And it's no different to back in the day before computers and Lightroom could keep up. Jim and I would cull weddings using like a JPEG viewer that used the small JPEG proxy that goes with your RAW file, the sidecar. We would use that to cull our photos because it was too slow to look through each photo when you're shooting RAWs. And this would be a similar thing, I assume, but I've never actually used something like that. I've always, if I've used proxies, I've built them afterwards from the footage. Whereas this seems like it's, and I assume that also gives you essentially a backup. And if the, depending on the way they handle the color profiles, you know, if you're shooting in C-Log2, which is now available, or RAW, does the proxy get shot with like a baked in standard color profile? So, you know, if you wanted to, you could edit a really quick turnaround, something for social media without having to do any color grading or anything like that with that proxy file, similar to JPEG and RAW when it comes to stills. So, yeah, very cool. And the video features, it looks like they've obviously put a lot of time into the cooling of the R5 Mark II. It's actually got like cooling holes on the bottom of it.
I saw that.
Yeah, I got some shots in the video. I'll see if I can bring it up.
They're offering two grips with the R5 Mark II, from my understanding. It was very quick in the presentation last night, but one of them is a cooling fan grip.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it actually houses I think it houses an Ethernet port and a cooling fan. I might be wrong on that. I haven't got it here in front of me. Let's see if they've got it on their site. I don't know what they do yet.
Hopefully, if this plays, I'm sorry. Whoop. Let me just share my screen. I'll show the bottom cooling fans here somewhere. Can you guys see that?
Not yet.
Can you see this?
Yes. I'm just going to let someone in to the house.
Okay. So, somewhere here. Yeah, there it is. Can you see that?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's new for the base of the R5 Mark II. And I assume that then also integrates with that cooling, the additional cooling grip that has a fan built into it, to really cool the camera down for sort of prolonged video.
Because that was an issue with the original R5, wasn't it? The overheating, even in stills photography.
Yep, it was. And they did firmware updates and it got better and better. It was sort of annoying at the start that overheating blinky light would come up pretty often, and it never held back the photography side of things, but it would just show up while you were shooting and you'd start to go, oh no, what's going to happen? But I've definitely hit the overheat limit many times shooting video with the R5. So it'll be great to put the R5 Mark II to the test and see how much better it is. Don't put it down in water. Paul Henderson is saying,
just soaking up.
That's something as well. Look, it's still got the same weather sealing rating as the original Mark V. So I don't know, you think about all of the holes and stuff that are in phones now, but you can basically just throw them in the water and they're fine. So I'm assuming they've got some pretty clever stuff going on with those vents, but it is it is different to see vents on a camera. It's not something I'm used to. So, what else? I mean, the video specs wise, other than going to 8K60, again, didn't seem like massive jumps, but they're all welcome, very welcome jumps in terms of just usable things, particularly C-Log2. A lot of people have been asking for that for a long time.
They showcased that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a lot of pro video guys there last night. People that shoot with the C400 and stuff like that. But they also use these cameras as B cameras alongside, their bigger Canon Cine cameras. So I think being able to match those together more easily and deliver a more professional feature set across the video of it. What was unclear was, is there no R5C anymore? Is that kind of gone? And does this R5 Mark II pick up enough of that space to where the R5C is no longer required? Or are we going to see an R5C Mark II at some point? I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know whether they would consolidate or maximize the marketing opportunity to have a new camera again.
Mm.
A couple of other features that stood out to me was the pre-record in both video and stills. So even just touching the shutter button, you get a half a second in video. And in stills, it would, send off a burst.
Yep.
Which is up to 30 FPS
with a
pre-record or pre-continuous shoot mode.
Yep.
It's
I don't know if that's super useful or not.
I think it would be for fast-paced sports for sure.
They showcased it with sports
because obviously if you're locked in and you're getting the shots, it's probably not a problem. But if you're trying to capture action but you don't want to be overshooting, yeah, you can wait for the moment a little bit more, but then still know that you get the lead up to the moment when you do decide to take the shot. So if you can imagine, again, in ball sports, you're sort of just tracking what's happening and then something great happens and you take the photo and you get the shot, but then you've also got the lead up to the to that moment now as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas without that, you would have to shoot more. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, for like a breakdown or something like that where, you know, you want to say someone injures themselves on the field or something like that, you might have only taken the shot when something happened, but now you can go back and have the lead up to that moment. Whereas otherwise, to get the lead up to those moments, you'd have to shoot a lot more because you never know when a moment's going to happen. You're just trying to anticipate it. So you'd be sort of shooting more while you're anticipating the moment.
So it's always doing this though. Like every time you press that shutter, it's like pre-capturing.
I think you can turn it off.
Yeah, you can turn it off. Yeah. But exactly. So it's pre-capturing, but it doesn't write the files to the card unless you press the shutter to take
a photo. Yeah. So it's just like always loading it through the buffer and then going, we don't need that.
Exactly.
Yeah, start here. Go. Yep. Let's go.
But then you take a photo in a minute. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go on.
Sorry, Justin. I was just going to say, Paul Henderson said in the comments, R7 has it for photos and Olympus has had it for years, but not video. And he loves it.
Yeah. Okay. It has been around for a while in other cameras. And I think it's one of those things that Canon definitely needed to bring it in. I think there's probably a lot of time, you know, I could imagine for bird photographers, wildlife photographers, you know, you sort of get a moment, but then, you know, you just, the bird was taking off or whatever and you just missed it, but now you've got it. Like, I think there's definitely applications, but for something like for what you're doing, Jim, with weddings, I think unless you really got dialed in as to how it works, you could end up with a ton too many files.
I turned it off for me, because I just was like, it's not gonna, but yeah, I can see how it might work now.
We've also got a big bright 5.76 million dot EVF blackout free shooting with the electronic shutter.
Mm-hmm.
What else? 3.2 inch vari-angle touchscreen. I don't have the specs on the size of that on the resolution, but I'm sure it's gorgeous. They typically are.
It was
five
nice.
Axis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was noticeably different to the original.
What have we got here?
Not noticeably, I don't think. Again, it was pretty dark in there. They looked good. The standout thing, maybe this is when we start jumping towards the R1, but the standout thing in terms of that sort of stuff was the R1's viewfinder.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was nice.
Yeah.
I want that on every camera.
Bright or big or
everything. Just everything. It was like
it's almost 10 million dots.
Yeah. It was like looking at a IMAX theater in your eyepiece. It looked great. I was like that was probably one of the things that made me go, maybe I do need to upgrade my R3.
Do it.
maybe.
The LCD is 2.1 million. So it's not great, but it's bright.
Yep. Yeah. Not a showstopper, but I mean, I've never had a problem with the screens on the back of the current R5 or the R3. So it's not something that was on my wish list to update.
And tell us about the ergonomics. How did you find it in hand?
The R5 Mark II. Like I said, very, very similar to the current model. You know, if you like the current one, you'll like this one. It's Canon's always feel super comfortable. They're a little bit smaller than Nikon in terms of like their lines and things. They're not as boxy, but they're, in my opinion, more smooth and ergonomic than like a Sony or something like that. And obviously quite a departure from Fuji's, Greg, but it's that traditional Canon design and style. Yeah. It's exactly what you would expect. They haven't done anything strange or weird. Even the record button on the R5 for video is in the same spot, on the R5 Mark II is in the same spot as the original R5. That's probably one of the things I wish they would move. it's on the top, and I prefer it on the back, like on the R3. Yep. But yeah, so they've kept a lot of that stuff the same. I assume intentionally. The biggest change is really probably that photo video switch. I can't think of what else has changed.
So have you custom function like set it to the back, or do you just run it on the top still?
I just run it on the top still. But I honestly haven't been shooting as much video on it because I shoot a lot of the video on the R3. So
yeah, and is that where its record button is?
On the R3, it's right in between on the back, right in between the photo video switch.
Yeah, that's a good spot for it.
It's awesome because I can just switch between photo and video, hit record. It's right next to this. Whoop, where is it? Everything's backwards. This thing, which is my favorite thing ever, the like touch sensitive autofocus joystick sensor pad thing and button.
Yeah,
I love that.
That was in your video last night, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, it was.
That was interesting.
I love that. It's the best thing Canon have made. No, it's not. Their cameras are the best thing they've made, but this is great. And it's on the R1, it's on the R3, but it's not on the R5 Mark II. I wish they had put it on there, but that they do have to reserve some features for higher end cameras, and maybe it's a space thing as well, like, you know, smaller camera. But for me, this thing makes the joystick, the traditional joystick, redundant. Like this is better. It's faster. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was shooting with the, because we've got that on the Fujicam. Well, not that. We've got a joystick, like a toggle. It's pretty responsive. But when I was shooting with the new GFX 100S Mark II, it was so stiff and unyieldy, and it's quite big, that if I was trying to select a focus point with my thumb on that little joystick, I sometimes would have to move it twice, and by then the shot was,
well,
composition had changed, you know. So,
yeah,
I mean, you can use touch screen focus, but
they have that, yeah, where you can swipe, like you can have your thumb. Is that not touch screen, like not with your using the viewfinder, but it reserves part of the screen to be like a touch sensor.
Oh, okay.
Canon do that.
That's good.
I've played with it. So basically it will be like, say this area becomes, or this area or something like that becomes the, if I move my thumb here, my focus point will be over here. You know, like if I move my thumb in the middle, my focus point will be in the middle. And it functions very similarly to this button.
Yeah.
But it is an awkward position for my thumb to be in.
Yeah.
This is like I can one-handed change the focus point and shoot like this. I can't sit my thumb across like that. You can do it if you hold
With the full screen touch focus point, you just can't reach across. You have to use a second hand.
Yeah. So that's that one little button. It's an expensive button, obviously, because you have to spend R3 or R1 money to get it.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yep.
All
right. Should we have a look at the R1?
Yeah. We should.
Sorry.
Yeah, we should.
Jim, what were you going to say, mate?
I was just going to say, I think you need to just order both, Justin.
Yeah, maybe.
And if you pre-order it, you can get a pretty cool camera strap with it, too.
Yeah. Jim will send it to you.
That's a good point.
Or does it come in the box? No, it comes in the box, doesn't it?
It comes in the box.
It comes in the box.
Is it a special branded box with lucky stuff?
It is. Yeah, it's our lucky box. It's got a little limited edition sticker on it with Kentaro's artwork and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's have a look.
Your lane is at home, currently packing hundreds and hundreds of them.
Oh, wow. Hi, Elena. Thanks for all that you do. All those boxes.
I appreciate it.
Can I pre-order, get the strap and return the camera? Paul wants to know for you.
So you just click on the comment, it'll say show.
Ah, okay.
You'd have to talk to Canon.
I've heard they'll send like big Canon security guys out to your house to retrieve that strap. If you return the camera only and keep the strap, they'll send their heavies around to rough you up and take the strap away.
Let's have a look at the R1.
All right.
It's a beast. I was looking at it last night, and that looks like controls of the space shuttle. Like, it's just out of control. It's phenomenal.
It feels great in the hand. Yeah. It feels like an art, like a one series always did. I had a 1D Mark IV back in the day. That's my first ever like pro body, and it feels like that. It is definitely chunkier than the R3. Like it just feels, I don't know, like the grip feels chunkier, like a little bit more distance here. I don't know if it is or not, but that's what it felt like in my hand. I haven't actually looked at the measurements. It didn't really feel heavier, much heavier than the R3, maybe a tiny bit, but it was definitely a little bit bigger. The mound on the top is a little bit bigger. Everything was just a bit chunkier.
Does look pretty big up top, kind of with those sloping edges and
not as big as that the big ugly Z9, but yeah, it is a little bit bigger.
Ouch.
I don't know, Nikon just put this giant little thing on the top of all their cameras. I don't know if they need that. Like, it's not the DSLR anymore.
It's the same. They've just gone like this. They've just made like a house.
Smooth. Canon. Or like, yeah, yours so
it's
is
the
like
the same, but yours just yours giant, has got like
big ugly hat thing on top of
you
it.
You need to put gutters in there for the rain.
You could tell chisel us what you that really off. Think. Hey,
so no future collaboration plans with Nikon, look. Obviously.
look, I'm sorry, but I'm officially I'm diehard Canon.
You are. Die-hard. You're back.
Yeah.
You're back to your roots.
That's the thing. And not a lot of people have gone from Canon to Nikon and back to Canon again, and I have. It gives you a unique perspective.
Yeah, you also can shoot multiple systems, which is
it's helpful.
Cool. Yeah,
it's helpful. So the R1, as I said, the viewfinder is amazing. That's it's definitely one of the best features of the camera. There's going to be a lot of talk on the internet, a lot of the in the comment sections about the lack of megapixels. It's 24 and it's the same as the R3. A lot of people are saying this is just an R3 Mark II. To those people, I would say, I would be very surprised if this doesn't get into the hands of people and it's not noticeably a higher performing camera. Flagship cameras up until recently have always been this kind of thing. You know, you have the Nikon D850 and you have the R5 and sorry, not the R5. What was it called? D5. Man, so confusing. The D5, which I owned. And they said the D850, when they launched it, it was more megapixels. And they said it had the same autofocus system as the D5. And I was like, perfect. I'll get that. Smaller body, more megapixels. And
it was so good.
But it wasn't the same. The D5 was still significantly faster in everything. For everything from buffer through like autofocus, everything worked better. Yeah. And this is going to be the same. The problem is with the limited testing that reviewers have been able to do, and the lack of showstopper specs. Because, you know, back in the day when a new flagship would come out, it would be like, has it gone from 11 frames a second to 13 frames a second or something like that? And everyone would be like, oh my God, like now it does 13 frames a second. I have to buy it. Now every camera that Canon sell can basically do 30 or 40 frames a second in electronic shutter. Yeah. Obviously, this thing's going to have a super fast readout speed. I think the Petapixel guys were saying they tested it and it's similar in readout speed to the Z8 and Z9. So it's not, they haven't increased the readout speed of the sensor, but like increased it beyond what the competition are doing. But I don't know whether it needs to be, whether that's fast enough for electronic shutter to do what it needs to do in sports situations. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a camera that people say, oh, it's only 24 megapixel and it doesn't have any new features or whatever. And then they're going to use it and be blown away by just the way that it works.
Yeah. But I don't think you need, like, for shooting sport, you don't need 45.
That's the other thing. So the other thing is, news,
don't need 45 megapixels.
Is it a downside to have a high megapixel camera? But then I guess people would say, well, all right, well, they can use the R3. You know, say if they had made the R1 45 megapixel.
Yeah.
You could choose the R3 or you could use the R1. But and I think it's just because the Z9 Nikon flagship 45 megapixel, A1 Sony flagship 45 megapixel, you know, like that. I think everyone was just expecting that that's the new standard now.
But did Nikon just do it because they had that 45 megapixel sensor that they've had around, you know, similarly for a while, and it was just easier?
Yeah, cheaper. Well, no, I think they were trying to compete with Sony, though, also, I think, with that, you know, that flagship.
I actually think it's good. 24, I think it's enough.
Yeah.
Full frame, it's stacked BSI.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think it's the right move.
And I think, you know, in terms of speed and performance, this will perform faster because it's only 24 megapixel than if they'd cranked up to 45 for the sake of the number.
Mm-hmm.
The reader, even though it's got the Digic accelerated chip as well as the Digic X processor on board the R1, even with the accelerator, you know, the higher they go, the speed gets lost.
That's right. It's still going to slow everything down. Even if everything's the same, if you're trying to jam more data through the system, it's going to slow it down. So the other thing that hasn't been mentioned much is low light performance. I'm really interested to see whether there's any kind of increase over what we get with the R3 or whether it's similar. I don't know if we've kind of reached a limit with low light in modern cameras where they can't, I mean, the R3 basically sees in the dark. I don't know if it could get much better, but there wasn't much said. So I want to see.
In the Canon USA presentation, they got very excited and used some very big words.
What were they?
It was neural network, deep learning, noise reduction.
I heard about the noise reduction, but that's an apply it afterwards feature, like similar to the upscaling, or is it, how does that work?
From what I understand, it's not like a processing, you know, converting to JPEG kind of thing. It's what the cat, like, so when you have it on, it's what the camera produces on the raw file. That's my understanding.
So it's a setting in the menu. I set it to whatever it's called, extra noise reduction or something. I turn that on.
Neural network, deep learning, noise reduction, Justin, thank you.
Neural network, deep learning, noise reduction. Trademarked. Clearly. Proprietary. So I turn that on and then every file now has that applied to it.
That's my understanding. But then that raises the question because, you know, when you do... Say, for example, in Lightroom, when you hit the AI-driven denoise.
And that's what I imagined it to be like, or like Topaz.
It slows your workflow down a lot.
Yeah.
So in the presentation, they very quickly glossed over that, you know, within a few seconds, your image will be... So I think it's in select situations. It's not... I doubt it's going to be...
Okay. So you're not going to leave it on... for a whole wedding night or something. No,
it would impact your buffer.
Okay, that'll be interesting to see what they've done there, and also, like I say, what if they've been able to do anything with the R1 sensor in terms of just regular low light performance.
Do you know what the R3 goes to ISO wise?
Look, I think it's 102,000 or something.
But whether it goes higher or not.
I was going to say, I stopped looking at stuff like that, though, because like most cameras can go to 100,000. It's just whether they look good or not. You know, like...
It doesn't work or not. Remember
the good old days of digital cameras where when a new camera came out, those were the things you wanted to know. What's the frames a second?
Is it 10 or 5?
Or whatever. And what does the ISO go to? Like, it wasn't a matter of like... Yeah, it was like, does it go to 12,800 or does it go to, you know, and then you would just wait to see when the specs come out, like this, it like unlocked a new level of ISO, this new camera that you could potentially go to. Yeah. And then usually you found that that new level was useless, but it meant the lower levels were a stop better. So maybe you could shoot at 3,200 when you used to cap it out at 1,600 or whatever.
It was fun.
The
R1 ISO speeds, the standard's 100 to 102,400, like that, Justin. The extended range, the lowest setting is 50.
Yeah.
And there's two high ranges. One's 204,800 ISO, and the second highest setting, sorry, the highest setting is 409,600 ISO. So they're big numbers, but realistically, it's how well the sensor determines what each pixel is. You know, and maybe that's where this neural network deep learning noise reduction comes into play.
Yeah.
That it's just improving the way in which the sensor is reading each and every pixel and how it looks at them compared to the one next to it and the one next to that and all of that sort of stuff. So I mentioned a couple of big selling points on this. So it's a lot of the same stuff that we've covered on the R5 Mark II. So it's got the Digic accelerator, the Digic X processor, the same dual pixel autofocus with the action priority and the people priority, improved eye control autofocus mechanism, and video is a little bit different. I'll cover that in a sec. But a lot of the blackout free shooting is still there. What else have we got? It's got a full size HDMI, a wide Ethernet port, which is great for media and photojournalists and sports photographers that are working at an event like the Olympics. That, you know, they go to a media room, they plug in, they send everything off to their editor or the newsroom or whatever it might be, and you know, the job's done really fast. In terms of video, from what I understand, it's 6K 60 RAW.
Yes.
So it's not quite the same level as the R5 Mark III, which was 8K. But there's a whole range of different formats there, and obviously in the video. In terms of FPS continuous, it does the pre-continuous photo as well when you half press the shutter button.
Yeah.
And it's an up to a 40 frames per second raw electronic shutter burst, which is pretty phenomenal. Yeah.
Which is, it's a bump of 10 over the R3. You know, the R3 was 30 frames a second. I find that almost unusable most of the time. This is probably one feature that I wish Canon would implement that Nikon have. Sorry, Canon, I love you. I do. But being able to customize your frame rates, choose the frame rate that you want and have a few of those settings sort of saved as your main frame rates is an amazing feature.
Couldn't be that hard. Like it would only be a software update.
I assume because basically with Canon, you've got high and high plus and stuff. So that on electronic shutter, it'll be, so 40 will be high plus, and then I assume high will probably be 20 or something like that. Like allow me to choose my high and high plus.
Nikon, you can dial it in.
Yeah. You can choose. And
doing it yesterday. I didn't want 15. I didn't want 5. So I actually went to 10. I could have gone higher, but I only wanted 10 for what I was shooting mountain biking. I didn't need too fast because it was just wasting space on the buffer, essentially.
Yeah. True.
So I was, 10's the sweet spot for me, I found yesterday. And I was literally using that feature yesterday afternoon. It's great.
I sometimes use a mechanical shutter because 12 frames a second is what I want, but I can't shoot 12 frames a second in electronic shutter. There is no setting for that.
That's
kind of confusing to me. I don't know if there are limitations in the way that their software works or whatever, but if I could request one feature, it would be that. It would be, please let us choose the frame rate, even if it was just electronic shutter. If you want to lock down the mechanical at just the presets, that's fine. But if that's the fair. Electronic shutter, at least give us a 12. So if I swap from mechanical to electronic, it would be nice to have the same frame rate as a default at 12.
Yeah.
12 is an option, and then maybe two other, like high and then high plus.
So can you slow it down or not?
There is a low, but I think low is 5 frames a second. It's too slow.
Okay, so it goes low and then what?
Yeah.
20 or 30 kind of thing.
Look, honestly, I would have to check. Yeah. But, you know, we're live, so stick with us, viewers. If you've got any questions about the shutter speeds of Canon cameras, I can tell you.
While Justin's looking that up, just one of the big standout things, I think you mentioned this a bit earlier, Justin, is the 9.44 million dot 0.9 times magnification electronic viewfinder with an OVF simulation.
I love it.
And that is blackout free shooting with electronic shutter. That's phenomenal. That's, you know, how high does it go, really?
Yeah, it looked so good to look through. Yeah, really, really good. Especially too, man, it's like I've turned the corner and I'm just ripping on Canon a little bit. I'm not, I promise. I love you guys. But the eyepiece, this is like a flashback to the Nikon D750 days. The eyepiece on the R3 doesn't stay on. The next time I've lost a couple already, and when I get another one, I'm going to glue it on something. But
it's just the black gaffer.
Yeah, so maybe it was because I'm used to shooting this without the eyepiece at the moment, but when I raised the R1 up to my eye, just the whole eyepiece and that giant viewfinder, it looked great. It felt great to look through. Like it
was the eyepiece solid? Like, is it built in?
No, I think it can still be removed. I'm sure it'll fall off. I'm sure they've sorted that out.
the on off button seems to be in a odd location on the R1. Not odd, but just
let me see.
The same on that?
So
it's on the side, like it's under the memory.
It's here. It is different switch on the R1.
Yeah, so it's I think under it's the in memory. The same. No, it's on the side. It looks like.
Yeah, let me see.
Let me share it.
Yeah, can you pull it up, Greg?
Oh wait, or is it on? Is there two? What am I looking at?
What are we looking for?
There's an on-off under the memory card slot. But there's also, you're right, Justin, there is one on the back.
There's one on the back?
Yeah, because that's always, my older 1D Mark IV had that.
On the other side. See there?
Yeah, that's for the for vertical shooting.
Yeah.
Right, okay. All right, well, that makes sense.
But I wonder if one overrides the other. Like if you flip it up here and the other one's on.
No, I don't think that's a camera on-off switch. I don't believe.
You just think it's for the vertical shooting button?
The vertical controls, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, whereas because the Canon are really, really smart, when you're shooting vertically, this is in a great spot to use still, the on-off switch. You wouldn't need to because...
Yeah.
Ooh, Pixel Scraper coming in hot. This is an interesting point. No tilty LCD without flipping it out is the deal breaker for me with either the R1 or the R5. I do have to agree that if I could choose, I would choose a flippy screen that can just be tilted without flipping out to the side to be tilted because it can get in the way. I'm sure there's also benefits in terms of it's less moving parts to do this. It's very simple and it works. It's been on a lot of cameras, but I like to be able to just quickly tilt it a bit to shoot at like waist level. And to do that, you have to, you know, rotate it out and turn it like that. And then it's sort of hanging out the side. So I agree. It would be nice if we could also just tilt it. It's definitely not a deal breaker for me because I love Canon. No deal breakers. But I'm interested to know if what are you shooting with currently, Pixel Scraper? What are you shooting with Canon currently and you're thinking of switching, or are you shooting Nikon Sony?
Let me show you the one that this is what I prefer. I've never liked the ones that flip out and then rotate. So this is the Fujifilm X-T5 and it's got a try. I'm sick of all the Canon talk. I need to talk Fuji for a minute.
We'll bring you back. We'll bring you back. Then we'll...
Am I on? Am I on?
I just brought it up. So you are on.
Okay, cool. So the X-T5, it has this tri-flipping screen. Let's see if I get a better picture of it. So you can flip it out like that. You can flip it downwards, I think 45 degrees. And you can also rotate on this axis, which is what is in this shot up here.
So it so can doing, tilt out portrait, vertically.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're doing portrait and you want to hold the camera lower.
Yeah.
But I've never liked the vary angle.
So I think that that's what the Z8 does too.
Yeah, does yours tilt out like that, Jim?
Yeah, so I can do the vertical one. And it goes past like 90 degrees too, so you can sort of hold it lower and yeah, still shoot. But back to what Pixel Scraper was saying, yeah, when you're out of line with the lens, it is frustrating, the screen.
It's a little weird, yeah. So tell us, Pixel Scraper, you're shooting with the R5 now. What's the plan? Are you just going to skip this like range of cameras but keep shooting R5? Are you thinking of switching brands? Like, what is it? Yeah, where are you at? I'm interested to know.
And anyone else that wants to share in the comments that's listening along?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was doing the drive autofocus. So it doesn't tell me, but I'm pretty sure... Low speed continuous in electronic. I wonder if we can hear this. No, I've got the sound turned off. Hold the phone. We're holding. Just hold on. We're almost there. So can you guys hear this?
Yeah.
Right up. So this is low speed continuous. What's that, 4 frames a second? Maybe? I'd have to. And then the next jump. So that's low speed continuous. The next jump is high speed continuous. Not that way, that way. Which is this speed. That's 15 yes. frames a second. So yep. I jump from 5 to 15. And I want in the middle. If I was shooting weddings, I would definitely want that. That sort of 8 to 10 is nice, I think, for a wedding. Unless it's like,
I think I shoot 5 now. I think I slowed this thing down because it's so good.
It's just too good.
No, but like we used to speed up the old cameras because they missed so much, but
and yet, these
don't. So
the autofocus is more reliable.
Yeah.
Pixel Scraper, skipping you guess. You're all Canon, but really want to upgrade the next R5. Yeah, okay. Well, look, I mean, you could look at it in the sense that you're still getting all the other improvements and it's not like you're going from a better tilty screen to a worse one. It's just the same as what you've got now. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, it's not, you're not going backwards, but I see your point for sure with it would be nice to be able to just tilt it out and have it behind. But I don't know. I think you'll be, especially if you do any video, I think that, yeah, well, that's the other thing. You'll be waiting for another 4 years, I guess. And also, if you shoot video, you're definitely going to appreciate the benefits of the new R5. If you shoot electronic shutter, high frame rates, the new R5 Mark II is going to be a big upgrade. Other than that, I was thinking about Grant, who unfortunately couldn't be on the show today, but he's got an R5. And I was going to ask him whether any of the new improvements tempt him, because his R5, he's probably only had that for 12 months or something. So I'd be interested to know whether he's tempted, or because I would imagine for him, he shoots a lot of landscapes, a lot of portraits. I don't know if there's anything in the advertised feature set that would, you know, excite him to go and throw $7,000 at a new camera and sell his second hand. I don't know.
It depends on your application, doesn't it?
I think so. How much are you using it? Are you shooting video? Are you shooting sports? And you know, if not, I'm sure the autofocus will be, if the autofocus is even just like the R3, it's going to be also a great upgrade. But it's not like the R5, the previous one was bad at autofocusing. Like for general photography, it was still really, really good. So I don't know. I think there might be a lot of people that decide to skip this upgrade cycle, but it's a long time.
It's a long time. Yeah. To wait.
Mm. What else?
Kind of all of the main, we've covered off all the main specs of the R1. It is an $11,000 camera. So this is not an entry level model.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
All I've got to do is if we could get this podcast big enough so that Canon just give me one, that would be nice. Yeah, if everyone, if anyone watching can, you know,
just give tag Canon in the comments.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, or just, you know, send it around to anyone you know. Try and get the views up a little bit. If you've got multiple devices, watch the podcast on your phone, iPad, computer, TV, everything you've got. Anything we can do to pump the numbers up so that Canon will just, instead of me having to buy cameras, maybe they'll just give them to me. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Don't forget Jim and I.
Something you too. You too.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, thanks.
We'll convert. We'll convert to Canon.
Yeah, this is the problem. We've got a Fuji and a Nikon. They're not going to give you guys cameras.
Yeah,
You've got to be part of the team. Otherwise, you're an outsider.
I've got a Canon strap over here. I can just put that around my neck.
That's true. It is true. I don't know if there's anything else that we need. If anyone's got any questions before all we go, otherwise I've probably got to check out of this hotel.
Yeah, you got to pack
at some point. I've got to pack.
I saw some footage of your room last night.
I was just interested to do, buddy. If anyone wants to see, check out the video that I made behind the scenes last night. Yeah,
we'll drop it in the comments.
I'll put in the link. It's on the Lucky Straps channel, but. I'm interested to know if anyone else that travels with their camera gear, if their room ends up looking like what mine did. Yeah. Just
I feel like it's just you.
Maybe. Could just be me.
Maybe. I think with that in mind, the fact that Justin doesn't want to have to be kicked out of his room, we might wrap up. But just before we end, just want to thank everyone for listening. Mm-hmm. And as always, Jim, Justin, a pleasure.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Thanks, Greg.
Justin and I have been chatting about I might make a trip over to Bendigo very shortly, and we might do a podcast. Might have to be in Jim's garage.
Live, in person. Let's do
it. Yeah. Live, three of us.
It's a technical challenge I'm ready to tackle.
Yep. We're pretty spacious here. We could do this.
Yeah, I think absolutely. So.
I think we'll give it a shot. Might have to get some more bar stools from Justin's mum's place.
Yeah. There's plenty of room. We've got lots of space.
And also you're starting to try and find some guests for
the
podcast.
I've got a list of guests that are eager to join us and talk all things photography with us. Granted, a lot of them are Fujifilm shooters because that's kind of my jam and my people, my community, but
that's all right. Bring them on and I'll make fun of them for using crop sensors.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Some of them use GFX.
So, I was about to say, don't bring any GFX.
I've got a couple of them. Yeah, they're pretty keen to tell you what's what. So we'll be having some guests. We haven't decided on a firm guest for next week, but we've got some people lined up. All of our guests are, you know, just like us, enthusiast, keen, professional photographers who love the experience, the process, the gear, and talking about it, which is wonderful. I think they are part of our community, and community is a big part of our objectives for this podcast and for the Lucky Straps brand. And so please like and subscribe, tickle the little bell button, make sure you get notified when there's a new podcast coming or any other content on the channels. Please jump in the comments, leave comments, and let us know what your plans are this week for photography. What's exciting you about photography at the moment? What gear have you got in your line of sight? We already know what Justin wants, so no surprises there now. I think we'll wrap
it's
it up.
Almost like. Paul says we should do a photo walk in Bendigo. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I think we will.
We've been talking about it for a long time. We've been talking about it for a while.
We'll make it happen.
All on board for that. And just
maybe when Greg
Justin,
comes up, we can.
That's what I was thinking. We'll pay my specialty. Part of the plan. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Justin, any? I know you've had a big couple of days. Obviously, a big lead up to that. But any other photography plans for this week or weekend?
Honestly, no. I think I'm going to go camping, and I'll probably take a camera, but I've got no plans. I just need to keep packing Canon straps, and have a little bit of downtime, and then get back into it next week.
Wonderful. And Jim, what about yourself?
I had a couple of shoots this week already, and then I got another shoot tomorrow. So
Nice.
Pretty exciting.
Nice. Yeah. As for me, I've just wrapping up a couple of informal kind of educational articles about Fujifilm for ShotKit, who I also write for, as well as Lucky Straps. And check out the blogs on the Lucky Straps page too. We do tend to post one in every newsletter, but they're all on the Lucky Straps page on the site. So you've got to wrap a couple of those things up. But yes, I desperately want to get out just with my camera just to go for a walk and have some fun. We haven't. Melbourne weather, you know, family, busy, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, all we want anyone to do is to get out with your camera and just have some fun with it.
Enjoy exactly. It. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think we'll leave it there. Justin, any parting words?
No, nothing from me. That's it, Jim. I'll just...
Everyone buy lots of R5 Mark IIs. Get lucky straps. Hey, get in early.
No, buy the strap and get the free camera.
Seriously, though, if you do actually order a camera, let us know, like comment or something, or hit us
Send
up.
Send us a photo. We'd love to see some.
Definitely.
Yeah, we want to see him get out. Or just let us know if you've pre-ordered so we can keep an eye on it. See if you get your camera before I get my mine. I haven't put my order in yet.
You better get onto it.
I better get onto it. They're probably all sold out. Get my own strap back.
And just one last piece of housekeeping. I've had a few people suggest that we should move to an audio podcast as well, because we're aware that our podcasts can stretch on, and not everyone, especially working or exercising, or, you know, you like listening to podcasts while you're doing other things. We're going to move to an audio channel soon. We're in the process of making that happen.
For sure. I'm onto it. But I will tell people, I don't want to be a YouTube salesperson, but if you want to upgrade your life for not a lot of money, delete Netflix or any of those other things, pay for YouTube Premium. You can then stream with your phone locked. You can download a video podcast or whatever and listen to it whenever, wherever, and no ads ever. It's a great way to use YouTube. It was the best upgrade.
If you use Justin's code, you can get 10%.
I wish I had a YouTube code. That'd be cool.
Seriously, it also come with neural network.
It does have deep learning. Yeah. The algorithm is reduction. It's deeply learning how much I like to watch fail videos.
Clearly.
Yeah. So,
clearly.
All right. I better go because I think they're going to kick me out of here.
But, thanks again, everyone. This is the Camera Life Podcast brought to you by Lucky Straps. Jim, Justin, Greg signing off. Everyone, have a great day and get out with your camera.
Yeah, see you soon.
Let's do it.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I hit the end button.